The following audiobooks contain AI-generated content and may contain errors. This audiobook narration presents AI in Private Equity Operations, Sourcing, Diligence, and Portfolio Value Creation Topic. Introduction. Private equity has always been a business of judgment under pressure. But in 2026, that pressure is sharper than it was even a few years ago. Firms are expected to evaluate more opportunities, review more documents, move faster, and still defend every important decision with care. That is one reason artificial intelligence has moved from the edges of experimentation into the center of operational discussion. In this lecture, artificial intelligence is not treated as a futuristic slogan. It is treated as a practical set of tools that read text, extract facts, summarize dense material, detect patterns, and help people manage language-heavy work at a scale that manual review struggles to match. This topic matters now because private equity is not just an investment model. It is an operating model. Deals are sourced through information, diligence is built from documents, and portfolio value is created through decisions that depend on accurate, timely, and traceable evidence. Artificial intelligence changes each of those stages in different ways. It can widen the search for promising targets, compress the time required to review contracts and financial records, and then reshape the daily routines of portfolio companies after acquisition. The question is not simply whether these tools save time. The deeper question is whether they create lasting value or only the appearance of speed. This lecture is designed for listeners who already know the basic language of business and want a clearer, more rigorous understanding of how artificial intelligence is actually being used inside private equity. It assumes no specialized technical background, but it does assume curiosity about how firms evaluate risk, manage operations, and explain performance. If you are a student of finance, strategy, operations, or leadership, this subject gives you a useful window into how a major asset class is changing in practice. If you work in business and want to understand what is real, what is hype, and what has to be true for results to hold, you are in the right place. We begin with the workflow itself, how firms search, screen, and diligence companies when artificial intelligence is part of the process. Then we move into the portfolio company, where the same capabilities alter finance, procurement, customer service, reporting, and knowledge access. Finally, we connect those operational changes to the harder question of returns, governance, and leadership. Along the way, a central tension keeps returning. Artificial intelligence can reduce friction and improve visibility, but private equity still depends on judgment, accountability, and proof. A faster process is not automatically a better one. So the guiding question for the lecture is this: when artificial intelligence enters private equity operations, does it merely accelerate the old way of working, or does it change how value is created, measured, and defended? As we move through the topic, we will keep returning to that distinction, because it is the difference between adopting a tool and transforming a business. End of introduction. In 2026, private equity firms face intensifying pressure to evaluate more opportunities than ever before. Diligence requirements grow more intricate with each passing year. At the same time, the economic payoff for reaching decisions that are both faster and still high quality continues to rise. Against that backdrop, artificial intelligence enters the workflow not as a novelty, but as a practical response to volume and complexity that manual processes struggle to absorb. For this discussion, artificial intelligence refers to capabilities applied directly to business processes. These include pattern recognition systems that identify relevant signals across large data sets, generative language models that produce coherent text from existing records, and document understanding tools that parse contracts, financial schedules, and correspondence. The common thread is their usefulness in language-heavy and document-heavy work, rather than in purely quantitative modeling. When artificial intelligence performs work inside a private equity setting, it reads incoming documents, extracts specific facts such as revenue figures or change of control clauses, summarizes lengthy records into concise briefs, routes exceptions to the appropriate specialists, scores potential targets against an investment thesis, drafts first-pass memoranda, and surfaces potential risks for human review. These tasks occur daily across origination, diligence, and portfolio oversight. It helps to distinguish artificial intelligence from traditional automation. Rules-based automation follows fixed instructions written in advance. It can move a file from one folder to another, or flag an invoice above a preset threshold. But it falters when inputs vary in structure or language. Artificial intelligence can accommodate unstructured text, emails, contracts, data room files, and diligence notes whose formats were never fully anticipated by programmers. There is also a difference from conventional analytics. Conventional analytics often starts with structured data already arranged in tables or databases. Artificial intelligence adds an extra step before that. It converts unstructured information into decision signals, so downstream analytics can be applied more effectively. Throughout the investment lifecycle, artificial intelligence supports investment judgment rather than replacing it. Pricing decisions, assessments of management quality, evaluations of legal exposure, and judgments about reputational risk still rest with experienced professionals. The technology compresses the time required to assemble relevant information and highlights areas that warrant closer scrutiny. Several groups participate in the resulting workflow. Investment professionals and origination teams generate and review leads. Operating partners work alongside portfolio chief executive officers, finance leaders, procurement leaders, and customer operations leaders to implement changes after an acquisition closes. Compliance and audit teams, legal counsel, internal technology groups, and external vendors provide oversight and specialized tools. Each group interacts with artificial intelligence outputs at different stages, and each group needs outputs that can be traced back to source documents. Adoption has accelerated in 2026 because the daily volume of confidential information memorandums, contracts, financial schedules, data room documents, emails, market research, and diligence question and answer records has become difficult to manage through manual review alone. Many firms report that artificial intelligence initiatives often meet or exceed original business case criteria. At the same time, only a smaller share of portfolio companies succeed in rolling out artificial intelligence use cases that deliver measurable return on investment. This gap between fund-level enthusiasm and portfolio company execution creates a recurring tension. It also shapes how quickly operational gains can translate into lasting value. Deal sourcing illustrates this distinction between tool deployment and genuine process change. Rather than treating sourcing as a search for better software, leading firms redesign the sequence of activities that begins with market scanning and ends with investment committee materials. Always on target scanning replaces periodic manual searches. Thesis-aligned filtering narrows the field to companies whose characteristics match stated investment criteria. Lead scoring and look-alike identification rank prospects by similarity to past successful investments. Outreach prioritization directs human effort toward the highest probability conversations. Qualified targets then convert into investment-ready materials with less manual reworking. In practice, an artificial intelligence sourcing system can scan market signals such as growth inflections visible in hiring data or revenue trends, shifts in ownership patterns, capital structure pressure reflected in rising interest costs, sector momentum, and the performance of comparable companies drawn from prior investments. These signals are assembled continuously rather than only in discrete campaigns. In one documented mid-market example, an artificial intelligence deal sourcing platform substantially cut deal evaluation cycle time and reduced manual effort per deal. It also improved the rate at which sourced opportunities moved to later stages. Speed and coverage increased, but faster sourcing alone does not guarantee higher fund returns. Entry price, execution quality, prevailing market conditions, and exit timing remain decisive. Due diligence presents a different challenge. It is often best understood as an information compression problem, where thousands of pages and dozens of conversations must be reduced into a structured view of value drivers and risks. Artificial intelligence accelerates this compression through first-pass synthesis and risk flagging, not through final judgment. The system summarizes key documents, extracts facts, detects anomalies, compares inconsistent records across files, and produces leads for deeper specialist review. The document processing pipeline typically follows a set of steps that can be described without reference to any particular interface. Materials are ingested from data rooms or email threads. Document types are classified so that a customer contract is treated differently from a facilities lease. Key facts are extracted and placed into structured fields. Relevant content is summarized for quick consumption. Anomalies, such as unexpected revenue adjustments or missing compliance certificates, are red flagged. Decision materials are drafted for circulation to the investment committee. What once required weeks of manual stitching can now begin with a generative artificial intelligence pass that assembles an outside-in view of the target. Concrete outputs are meant to direct human attention. A summary of customer concentration can highlight reliance on the top accounts. A flagged change of control clause can surface terms that are easy to miss. An inconsistent revenue figure can appear in both a quality of earnings report and the data room, but differ by several percentage points. A missing environmental certificate can affect closing conditions. A margin trend that deviates from management claims can indicate where specialist diligence should go next. Each output is designed to help people decide what to verify, not to claim that the verification is complete. Even polished summaries carry limitations that must be acknowledged early. A model may generate fluent text that is unsupported by the underlying documents. It may be incomplete or simply incorrect. In finance, legal, and compliance contexts, hallucinations create material risk. A single misstated fact can distort valuation work or expose the firm to regulatory scrutiny. Teams can also fall prey to confirmatory bias. In that failure mode, they accept a summary that aligns with the existing deal thesis while overlooking contradictory evidence. Auditability is another concern. If reviewers cannot reconstruct what the model received as input, what it produced as output, and which individuals relied on those outputs, then governance becomes difficult and later defense becomes harder. Operational controls address these risks in practice. Retrieval grounding requires the model to cite specific passages from source documents before any claim is accepted. Precision-oriented settings reduce the tendency to fill gaps with plausible but unverified language. Source-linked outputs make extracted facts traceable to their origin. High-impact conclusions require mandatory human review before they influence pricing or legal positions. Audit trails preserve the sequence of model inputs, outputs, and human approvals, so later review remains feasible. Whether acceleration stays at the level of faster paperwork, or instead becomes the foundation for operating transformation, depends on governance choices, leadership attention, and deliberate process redesign. The same underlying capabilities that speed sourcing and diligence can also reshape daily operations inside portfolio companies. In turn, the next question is what that looks like in practice, where workflow expands from the investment team into the rhythms of finance, procurement, customer operations, knowledge access, and cross-portfolio reporting. Artificial intelligence reduces manual work, accelerates turnaround times, and improves decision consistency by turning messy inputs into structured process signals that teams can act on quickly. This operating pattern shows up across portfolio companies in a fairly consistent before and after sequence. Unstructured inputs arrive first, often through emails, invoices, contracts, customer tickets, banking feeds, and internal records. Models then assist with routing and extraction, pulling key facts into consistent fields and directing each item to the right workflow queue. Next comes exception handling, where the system surfaces anomalies for review rather than sending every case through the same path. Human judgment remains the final step for any decision that carries financial, legal, interpretive, or policy weight. This sequence is not simply a single software installation. It depends on redesigning how work moves across systems, roles, controls, and the daily routines managers use to steer the business. When that redesign holds, freed capacity shifts toward higher value activities, and the same underlying data supports faster, more reliable reporting. When redesign stays superficial, teams may add another dashboard without changing how exceptions are closed or how responsibility is assigned. Finance close and reporting offer a clear illustration. Earlier in the cycle, accountants pull data from multiple banking platforms, enterprise resource planning systems, and subsidiary ledgers. They reconcile spreadsheets line by line, chase missing entries through email threads, apply accounting codes by hand, and investigate exceptions only after month-end numbers arrive. Leadership then receives reports under time pressure, leaving limited room for analysis. The recurring failure points are familiar. Inconsistent data definitions across entities create confusion about what numbers mean. Manual entry errors propagate into summaries. Delayed reconciliations hide variances until the next cycle. Visibility gaps make it unclear which items require attention, and audit preparation often begins only after the books are nominally closed. As a result, analysts spend substantial time assembling the record instead of interpreting what it means for operations. In the redesigned process, artificial intelligence supports data collection from banking systems, accounting platforms, and other records. It categorizes transactions, applies accounting codes using learned patterns, performs matching and reconciliation at scale, flags anomalies for attention, and routes genuine exceptions to accountants rather than burying them in long lists. In documented implementations, finance close is shortened on average, and teams recover time that previously went to repetitive assembly. Just as importantly, the system creates earlier visibility into variance drivers, rather than revealing issues only when deadlines are already tight. That earlier visibility matters because it changes how people respond. Management can see variance signals while they are still actionable. Analysts move away from chasing missing inputs and toward explaining drivers, testing assumptions, and advising operating leaders on next steps. Three-way matching strengthens the process further by comparing purchase orders, invoices, and payment records automatically. That reduces duplicate payments, billing errors, and reconciliation gaps that previously required manual detective work. Audit readiness becomes more continuous when every action, exception, approval, override, and relevant model output is logged as part of the workflow. Reviewers can reconstruct what happened without reconstructing the entire month from scattered files. Core controls remain in place. Accountants still review anomalies above defined thresholds. Approval rights remain tied to documented authority levels. Overrides require justification. Segregation of duties is preserved through system configuration, and exception rates are monitored so model drift becomes visible before it affects reported numbers. Procurement and vendor management follow a similar before and after pattern. In the earlier state, spend analysis relies on periodic manual pulls from different systems. Vendor onboarding requires repeated documentation checks that stretch across weeks. Supplier records sit in fragmented folders, renewal dates slip past unnoticed, and dashboards arrive too late to influence negotiations. In that pattern, visibility into contract leakage or emerging supplier risk shows up only after an operational problem has already surfaced. These shortcomings produce predictable outcomes. Data quality remains weak because there is no single source of truth. Duplicate vendor records can inflate reported spend. Missed renewals can trigger price increases. Licenses and insurance certificates can go unverified until claims or compliance events occur. Contract terms can vary widely across suppliers that should be comparable, and deterioration in performance may become visible only after delivery or service levels have already declined. Once the workflow is redesigned, artificial intelligence supports spend analysis across systems, benchmarks vendors against peers, detects anomalies in contract terms, identifies consolidation opportunities, monitors performance in near real time, and generates risk scores that update as new information arrives. When data quality is sound, addressable spend is meaningful, and categories are actually negotiable. Reductions on the order of meaningful procurement savings can become plausible. Those conditions matter because procurement savings are not purely a modeling outcome. They depend on disciplined sourcing, negotiation execution, and follow-through that implements contract changes the system recommends. Vendor onboarding compresses in practical ways. Models extract information from business licenses, certificates, tax forms, insurance documents, and related compliance records. They verify credentials against public registries, flag missing materials for immediate follow-up, and move qualified suppliers from weeks of manual processing to days. High-risk vendors still require human review. Benchmark assumptions must be validated before savings targets are locked in. Model-driven risk scores must be monitored for drift, and escalation paths must remain open when supplier risk is uncertain or when underlying data is incomplete. Customer service and revenue operations present a third domain where the same mechanism applies. Before redesign, cases arrive through multiple channels and are triaged manually according to static escalation rules. Routing can become inconsistent across teams, routine inquiries consume agent time, and customers wait while simple questions move through several hands. The result is a workload mix that favors delays and rework. After redesign, artificial intelligence classifies incoming cases, resolves routine inquiries on first contact where policy allows, recommends next actions drawn from similar past cases, summarizes customer history for the agent, and escalates complex or sensitive matters to human specialists. In documented deployments, routine inquiry handling load can fall by a large margin, which shortens overall handling time and lets agents concentrate on issues that require judgment. When handoffs are seamless, customers experience shorter waits and clearer resolutions. Failure points remain visible if redesign is incomplete. Inaccurate classification sends the wrong cases into automation. Weak handoff protocols lead to customers repeating their story. Overly broad policy boundaries can cause models to offer answers that later require correction. And when speed is optimized at the expense of trust, customer satisfaction can decline even as ticket volumes drop. So the operational design has to balance accuracy targets, escalation thresholds, and customer experience outcomes. Revenue operations extend the same logic into commercial decisions. Churn prediction, pricing optimization, segmentation signals, sales prioritization, and customer value scoring change. How leaders schedule outreach and allocate effort. The models surface timing and focus options, but they do not replace negotiation or strategic pricing judgment when those choices involve context, competitive dynamics, or governance constraints. Knowledge access operates as a cross-cutting control layer across all these domains. Employees previously spend significant time searching across documents, messages, meeting notes, customer records, and internal tools. Artificial intelligence makes organizational knowledge queryable and synthesis-ready, which accelerates onboarding and improves continuity when team members change. It also reduces duplication of earlier work because people do not need to rediscover the same answers in different folders. At the same time, this control layer introduces risks that have to be managed explicitly. Information can become outdated if sources are not refreshed. Permission leakage can expose sensitive material. Overbroad access can place interpretive answers in front of users who lack context. And synthesized responses can blur the line between fact and inference, which makes source checking essential in workflows that affect decisions. Cross-portfolio reporting adds a federation and normalization layer on top of these operating improvements. Data from individual portfolio companies is brought into a shared intelligence environment, so pattern identification, benchmarking, and value creation playbooks can become repeatable across the fund. Operating partners can compare performance across holdings, spot anomalies earlier than periodic board reports often allow, identify which use cases have worked elsewhere, and direct scarce specialists toward where operational signal is strongest. Throughout all domains, mandatory human review remains the boundary for high-impact financial entries, policy exceptions, disputed anomalies, legal interpretations, customer-impacting escalations, and material vendor decisions. Teams make the workflow measurable by tracking data quality, exception rates, false positives and false negatives, override frequency, adoption rates, user behavior, cycle time, cost impact, and downstream business outcomes. Genuine transformation shows itself in redesigned workflows, changed roles, embedded controls, measurable process outcomes, and management routines that actually use the outputs rather than treating them as optional reports. Operational improvements translate into value creation levers only when freed capacity is redeployed, when costs are reduced, or revenue is captured in ways that can be attributed, and when other initiatives do not obscure the source of the gain. Faster close cycles, procurement savings, lower service workload, better commercial prioritization, and reduced information friction can support improved operating performance and faster initiative execution. But the chain still runs indirectly. That is why measurable process outcomes must come first. Only after those outcomes are visible and attributable can a return narrative be defended to investors, lenders, and future buyers. In the next part, the lecture shifts from operational mechanics to the investment consequences, connecting improved operating evidence to how funds and buyers evaluate value, risk, and governance maturity. We turn now to the investment consequences of these operational changes. To understand how artificial intelligence shapes private equity outcomes, it helps to start with two core measures of performance. Internal rate of return is a time-sensitive yardstick. It captures both how much value an investment generates and how quickly that value returns as usable cash to investors. Multiple on invested capital, by contrast, is a simpler measure of magnitude. It compares the total value realized at exit or still held to the equity originally committed. Put directly, internal rate of return is about timing and money growth, while multiple on invested capital is about the overall scale of value creation. Private equity professionals track both figures because each answers a different question that matters inside a fund with a fixed life. Internal rate of return rewards speed, and that aligns with the pressure to return capital to limited partners on schedule. Multiple on invested capital rewards magnitude, and that reflects whether the business has become fundamentally more valuable. A fund can post a strong internal rate of return through rapid deals even if the underlying improvement to the enterprise is modest. Another fund can produce a higher multiple but a lower internal rate of return when the gains arrive later in the hold period. Investors therefore look at both metrics together to judge whether operational improvements are producing durable economic movement, not just favorable timing. Artificial intelligence connects to returns through an indirect chain rather than a simple on-off switch. When portfolio companies use it to raise margins, reduce process friction, accelerate initiative timelines, and increase managers' visibility into performance, those operational effects can show up as faster cash flow timing and stronger terminal value. The same capabilities that compress diligence cycles can also shorten finance close. They can reduce procurement leakage. They can deflect routine customer service tickets. They can surface commercial opportunities earlier than competitors react. Each change can support better earnings generation and stronger cash conversion, which then strengthens the narrative buyers and lenders test at exit. Still, fund-level returns depend on more than operations alone. Leverage, entry price, prevailing market multiples, sector timing, and the quality of the management team all shape how operational gains translate into internal rate of return and multiple on invested capital. That is why it is safer to treat any single operational lift as one component in a broader causality chain, not as a direct guarantee of fund performance. A useful way to keep this attribution clear is to separate what can be observed inside workflows from what ultimately appears in fund returns. Cycle time, close time, procurement spend reduction, ticket deflection, exception rates, adoption rates, and override frequency sit on the first side of the ledger. Internal rate of return and multiple on invested capital sit on the second side. The first group can often be linked to particular model deployments. The second group reflects the combined effect of those deployments, plus financing decisions, market movements, and parallel value creation initiatives. Keeping that distinction in view helps teams avoid a common overreach. Claiming that every improvement in margin automatically implies an equivalent improvement in fund performance. Because internal rate of return is sensitive to timing, artificial intelligence can move it when the technology compresses execution and decision cycles, and when it surfaces performance issues early enough for corrective action during the hold period. In practical terms, earlier close and clearer variance signals can give leaders more opportunity to adjust pricing, renegotiate contracts, or reallocate resources before small deviations compound. Procurement teams can similarly identify consolidation opportunities earlier, which can make savings begin flowing before the originally planned exit. Those earlier cash flows matter because they directly influence the internal rate of return calculation. Multiple on invested capital, on the other hand, responds more to durability. Artificial intelligence influences multiple when it produces lasting margin expansion, scalable operating processes, stronger revenue retention, and a more valuable enterprise at the point of sale. Consider customer service and revenue operations. If an organization consistently deflects a large share of routine inquiries, agents have more capacity for complex cases. If the system also supports better customer experience and smoother handoffs, that can translate into stronger renewal behavior. Buyers then see a more predictable revenue pattern, which can support a higher exit multiple. Speed alone does not guarantee that outcome. The organization has to embed the new capabilities so the improvements survive leadership changes and continue after the original sponsors have moved on. Across portfolio companies, artificial intelligence initiatives that are tied to measurable operating improvements have been associated with earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization margin gains over multi-year holding periods. The size of those gains varies. It depends on baseline data quality, the speed of adoption, whether the use case fits the sector and operating reality, and whether governance is in place to keep the system reliable over time. Firms that start with clean data definitions and strong executive sponsorship tend to realize larger and more persistent lifts. Firms that deploy tools without redesigning roles, controls, and incentives often see early pilots stall once the initial excitement fades. In that sense, the technology behaves less like a standalone engine and more like a multiplier of operational discipline. Exit narratives also evolve when artificial intelligence-driven transformation is substantiated rather than asserted. Buyers and lenders increasingly ask whether efficiency gains are rooted in repeatable processes, durable controls, and documented economic outcomes. In competitive sale processes, documented operating improvements can support higher exit multiple expectations in some cases, but the premium is contingent on evidence. A data room that contains audit trails showing model inputs, human approvals, exception handling, and downstream margin impact tends to carry more weight than a deck that simply claims broad productivity gains. This distinction matters because sophisticated buyers and their diligence teams test the reliability of artificial intelligence claims under new ownership and new operating constraints. A recurring caution follows from these observations. Simply distributing artificial intelligence tools without corresponding organizational change rarely produces profit and loss impact. Across portfolios, implementation may look widespread, yet realized return on investment is still far less consistent. One reason is that many organizations remain in an early deployment phase rather than moving into deeper transformation. Deployment means rolling out software licenses and training while leaving existing workflows, roles, and incentives largely intact. Reshape means redesigning the underlying processes, redefining which decisions humans make versus which models support, and embedding new outputs into weekly management rhythms. Invent goes further by creating new customer propositions in which artificial intelligence is woven into the business model itself. The most durable value is more likely to appear in Reshape and Invent when the organization stops treating artificial intelligence as an add-on and instead treats it as core operating infrastructure. Governance is what makes Reshape and Invent feasible at scale. Here, governance does not mean a separate compliance checklist that runs in the background. It is an operating system for model risk and decision risk oversight. It starts with clear decisions about which use cases are permitted, which executive owns the economic result, which teams approve high-impact model outputs, which functions monitor ongoing performance, and which individuals can stop or escalate a workflow when signals become unreliable. Without those assignments, activity multiplies with no accountability, and early wins decay once the original project team disbands. Decision transparency then becomes a practical requirement. Teams need to be able to reconstruct what data entered the model, what output it produced, who reviewed it, what decision followed, and how the chain can be audited later. When those elements are logged as part of daily workflow, reviewers can trace an anomalous recommendation or a disputed routing decision back to its source. When they are missing, organizations often discover too late that overrides have become routine, or that model performance has degraded because source data changed without notice. From these principles, concrete controls follow. High-impact decisions receive mandatory human review before they affect financial statements, legal positions, or customer outcomes. Model outputs are documented with timestamps and clear version identifiers. Audit trails capture inputs, recommendations, overrides, and downstream results. Data minimization limits what information reaches the model in the first place. Access controls restrict who can query sensitive records or approve model-driven actions. Escalation paths activate when uncertainty thresholds are crossed or when exception rates rise beyond preset limits. None of these measures removes risk, but they make risk visible and manageable so that speed does not outrun control. Privacy and compliance considerations also act as design constraints rather than after-the-fact checks. Teams must decide in advance what categories of data may enter models, how sensitive fields are protected or masked, and who has legitimate access. Vendor evaluation extends the same logic outward. Portfolio companies assess whether a vendor trains on customer data, how bias and error are monitored within the vendor's environment, what evidence supports security claims, and whether contracts allow independent audit or verification. Third-party risk management increasingly addresses model training restrictions, data lineage requirements, security obligations, audit rights, and continuity plans if a vendor changes pricing or capabilities. Far from slowing execution, well-designed governance often accelerates it. Clear rules reduce ad hoc approvals, eliminate repeated debates over acceptable risk, and surface hidden dependencies before they become blockers. When teams know the boundaries of decision-making ahead of time, they spend less time negotiating exceptions and more time delivering outcomes. The same clarity shapes leadership practice. Operating workflows must be redesigned so artificial intelligence outputs feed directly into weekly and monthly management reviews. Training then shifts toward exception handling and override judgment, not just tool navigation. Incentive structures can also shift toward measurable results rather than counting tool usage. Human capital implications matter as well. Experienced professionals often extract more value from artificial intelligence because they recognize when outputs align with domain knowledge and when they diverge. Less experienced colleagues need closer supervision and structured training so they neither overtrust fluent but unsupported responses nor dismiss useful signals they cannot yet interpret. In both cases, artificial intelligence changes the skill mix that creates advantage. Judgment and pattern recognition become relatively more important than rote data assembly. Several failure modes show up repeatedly. Tool-first adoption occurs when licenses are purchased before the business outcome, workflow owner, and control framework are defined. Unclear ownership stalls progress when no executive holds responsibility for the profit and loss result. No function owns the redesigned process, and no team monitors drift. Insufficient monitoring allows early gains to erode because exception rates, override frequency, user behavior, and downstream business impact are not tracked consistently. Each pattern converts what could have been durable operating leverage into isolated pilots that never scale. These considerations bring the lecture back to the three pillars that organize the story. Investment workflow acceleration shortens the time from market scanning to investment committee materials while preserving judgment. Portfolio operational transformation converts the same underlying capabilities into measurable process outcomes inside portfolio companies. Governance and leadership mechanisms determine whether those process outcomes compound into lasting value or remain isolated improvements. The elements depend on each other. Acceleration without governance invites audit failures, and governance without workflow redesign invites bureaucratic drag. Looking ahead to the close of 2026, several practices are moving from experimental to standard. Evidence-based return on investment expectations, documented operating improvements tied to specific model deployments, artificial intelligence diligence by prospective buyers, and explicit proof standards for exit narratives are increasingly treated as baseline requirements. At the same time, ungoverned autonomy, unmeasured transformations, unsupported valuation premiums, and workflows in which models make material decisions without clear human accountability remain areas where practice is still evolving. As you reflect on these developments, you can also consider several open questions. What standards of proof will converge for linking artificial intelligence initiatives to measurable returns? Which operating domains will produce durable return on investment once governance constraints are applied consistently? How will firms balance auditability with decision velocity in ways that fit real operating cycles rather than idealized models? These questions may not have settled answers yet, but the organizations that treat them as design problems rather than as compliance exercises are more likely to convert technical capability into durable economic advantage. Artificial intelligence in private equity is therefore not merely a faster research assistant. It is also not only a portfolio cost reduction tool. Ultimately, it functions as a test of whether firms can redesign work measure outcomes rigorously, and lead teams through the uncertainty that comes with genuine operating change. Sources: FTI Consulting's 2026 Private Equity AI Radar, do not quote, underpinned the broad map of how private equity firms are using AI across sourcing, diligence, portfolio operations, governance, and talent planning. It supplied the survey framing and the adoption and risk signals that shaped the lecture's overview. Boston Consulting Group's work on the AI-first private equity firm and its deploy, reshape, invent framework, do not quote, provided the main operating model lens. It helped distinguish simple tool rollout from the deeper workflow and role redesign that captures value. Analysis: Mason's 2026 report, do not quote, supplied the adoption gap figures and the caution that widespread AI use does not yet mean widespread return on investment. It was used for the discussion of pilot fatigue, partial deployment, and uneven results across portfolio companies. Alex Partners' 2026 materials, drawing on McKinsey Research and Harvard Business Review reporting, do not quote, contributed the procurement, revenue operations, and EBITDA improvement figures. These sources also informed the discussion of how operational gains can show up in exit narratives and valuation. CFO Dives reporting on research from MIT and Stanford University, do not quote, supplied the finance close statistics, including faster monthly closes and time saved in back office work. The Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis analysis on generative AI and work hours added the broader productivity context. PwC, Grant Thornton, and Deloitte informed the sections on AI governance, audit trails, document processing, and third-party risk. These sources were used for the guardrails, control design, and compliance themes, rather than for any single headline number. Vendor and case study materials from Brownloop, Deal Sourcing AI, Zendesk, Parseur, and Cat Protech, do not quote, supplied the concrete examples on deal sourcing, customer service automation, document extraction, and manufacturing cycle time tracking. They were useful for illustrating use cases, but they are proprietary examples and should be treated cautiously. This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.